Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. I hope your week is going wonderful. It is the week of Halloween, my favorite time of the year, and I have just had a really good past couple of weeks. Vacation last week was wonderful. Black Mountain, North Carolina, if you've not been there, please go and visit. It's so pet friendly. It is just adorable and artistic. It's such a nice, wonderful place to be. Go and support the folks in Black Mountain, North Carolina. You know, they were hit by Helene, and they are still recovering. But you can't tell much right now. They've done a really good job. But please, if you're looking to travel somewhere, you want to go to the mountains, Black Mountain, North Carolina, just absolute gorgeous. And hi to all the wonderful people we met there and talked to. And again, just such a wonderful place. I cannot wait to go back. But my next trip, in just a few weeks, actually, I will be in Savannah, Georgia, Tybee Island area, near Hilton Head. So if you are listening from there, you want to do a session with me, then give us a shout out via email and we will get you scheduled. I am going down there for training purposes, so it will be work and some play. So if you are interested in a session, you're near there, then just give us a shout out and we will get you hooked up with a session with me. I will be bringing Willow with me, so you'll get a chance to meet her as well. I'm just really excited about getting down there. That is like a home away from home for me, and I'm excited to go down there. And if you are local and you need any type of holistic care, Dr. Neely North is in Savannah taking clients now, as well as here in Nashville. So really excited about that for her, and looking forward to working with her whenever I get down there. So let's see, what else do I have? If you've not taken advantage of the coupon code DOGSPOOK for 85% off the dog communication webinar, what are you doing with your life right now? What are you doing? You know what? Your dog needs you to do this. For like $13, $14, you can get the dog communication, the dog communication webinar to learn how your dog uses body language to avoid conflict, handle stress, whether that stress is external or internal. So you need to get that, guys. It's really important. And if you have gotten the dog communication webinar, if you want to send us, you know, an email of what you thought about it, we would love to have some reviews so that we can let other people know about the reviews for the communication and how important it is and how you probably learned some things you didn't know you didn't know. And I think that is the biggest thing. People think they know everything and of what their dog does and how their dog does, but we're always learning, guys. I've been in this for 30 years, and I'm still learning. So they have a lot to teach us. So take advantage of that. DogSpook, and you can find the link in the show notes, dogspeakgeek.thinkific.com, and use coupon code DogSpook. That expires at the end of the week. So make sure you get it today. You will have months to watch it. So even if you can't watch it right now and you're busy, and I know you're going to have some time off coming up with these holidays, so you'll have time to watch it then. But go ahead and purchase it today. There are a few coupons left. We put a max on the coupons, so there are a few left, and I want you guys to use them. Sell this out. Do that for me, and do that for your dog. I hope you enjoyed the spooky episode last week. I thoroughly enjoyed those stories. I do have an update on our story from Lauren, where her sister and brother-in-law live in a haunted house. and I had some questions for her. So if you listened to that episode, you got to hear the questions, and she was so kind that after the episode she listened to, she sent me her answers. And I have permission to read those to you guys. So I know you're probably as curious as I am on what transpired with that. So let's just see. So yes, the firefighter did die in the house. So that was a big one because I was real curious to know, you know, was it something like he worked on the house or maybe lived there at some point and it meant something? But no, this firefighter did die in the house, and they believe that's who he is. But her husband did not get a good look at the figure's face, but could tell it was wearing blue and that it was definitely a man. They're still on the lookout for a picture of the firefighter, but she's going to keep me updated if and when they find one. They do have more stories from their house, like doors opening by themselves, lights shutting off on their own, random knocking sounds. They have a door in front of a crawl space that opens on its own. Oh, hell no. They hear footsteps. And Fox is always staring at nothing into corners, doorways, hallways, and following something with his eyes. Her husband has seen the male figure, but has also seen a woman in white and children figures. He was also in their front yard once with Fox and got a feeling someone was watching them. He calls it his ghosty feeling. He heard shuffling up in their front yard tree, looked up and saw a black figure wrapped around it. We think Fox saw it too, because he then immediately started pulling to get back inside, tail tucked, ears flattened, eyes wide. Almost yanked her husband off his feet from how hard he started pulling. Okay, that's amazing. And I definitely need more. But look, the door to the crawl space that opens, Nope. You need to nail that son of a gun shut. Nail it shut, because nothing good comes out of the crawl space. So that's all I'm saying. So thank you for sending me that, though, because I really did. I had so many questions. I haven't had any like haunting things. We did have a Halloween party, and it was Willow's first Halloween party. She got to come out a couple of times because her birthday was this past Sunday. She is, as the recording of this, she is 366 days old. But she did really good at the party. She was so sweet. She wasn't freaked out. Our party's theme was dressed like a song title. So it was really good. It was a really good fun time. She had a good time. Let's see. In Black Mountain, I sometimes feel like the house we stay in is haunted. But that was just probably me assuming things. Nothing has ever really happened. The dogs don't act weird. I guess I don't have any really good spooky stories with my dog, other than the one that I shared with you guys. I do want to get into an episode today that may be a little tough. It's going to be a little tough to record, I think, but it is going to be a little tough to talk about. And when you start thinking about it, you're going to feel really bad for your dog. And what I'm really hoping is, my goal is not to make you feel bad. The goal of this episode is to make you think, make you wake up and think about your dog's perspective of this life and how we can make changes to help our dogs do better. I think we need to stop thinking so much about our dogs being misbehaved or bad, or just disobedient, when in reality, this world is just not set up for their success. And that is what I want to talk about today, about how this world is challenging. It's challenging for us, but it's definitely going to be challenging for the dog. And we're going to talk about kind of how stress kind of gets into it, right? If we think about our world right now, and if you just, you know, wherever you go, whether it's you're going to the grocery store or you're riding in your neighborhood or you even live in the country, but you still have to get out, our world is just built to move quickly, right? Everything is fast. Cars, screens are everywhere. Noise is everywhere. There's a constant change in the environment. it's hard enough for us to deal with that, but it's definitely challenging for the dog. Now, I know I've touched on this in past episodes and recent episodes, but I want to get into a little bit deeper detail on this and things that we can do. So I want you to know that this is something we all need to be thinking about so that we help our dogs kind of, you know, fit into this world the best way that they can. So why is the world overwhelming? Oh, well, it's just unpredictable. It's loud. It's insane. I mean, people these days, I mean, we're all feeling it. It's not like you guys are living in a bubble. We're all feeling what is happening in our world, whether it's a war or, you know, changes to healthcare or benefits, wages, groceries. It's all challenging, right? And we tend to focus on all that negativity and how it's affecting us. And I'm not putting us on the back burner, because we are dealing with that and we need to learn how to deal with that. But this episode is about your dog and how we can think about them in this time and what we can do to help them, right? Because they are going to need our help. And feeling as comfortable and with the least amount of stress that we can muster. And I know that a lot of it's out of control, but I do feel like that there are certain things that we can do to help our dogs, you know, navigate this world. You know, dogs are very social creatures. Their life, if we kind of took ourselves away from that, they would find themselves a pack. They would be social. They would develop relationships. They would explore their area. They would move their body. They would take time to be in nature and enjoying nature. They would sniff and forage and scavenge, and they would do all the things that they needed to do to meet those needs on a regular basis. And they would absolutely set up predictable patterns. I wanted to kind of give you an example by talking about street dogs and street dogs that live in other countries. Street dogs are very normal in other countries, and they do a really good job at functioning in their world, even though, again, it's not set up for them. You know, these street dogs basically have been, you know, roaming for decades and decades and decades. And then these, you know, small villages or small cities, small towns are being built up around them, and they have nowhere to go. So they have to learn to either acclimate, or they have to move on somewhere else. But moving on somewhere else isn't good, because that's unpredictable. And at least with the predictability that they have created in the environment that they've made, at least that is still kind of intact when these cities, towns, villages, you know, begin building. So let's talk about street dogs, what I mean by that, because I'm not talking about stray dogs. Stray dogs are often pets that have been lost or abandoned by their owners. They may have been socialized with humans at one point, and can exhibit friendly behavior towards people, but they oftentimes will have that fear and all that good stuff. Strays often seek human companionship. They may approach people with food or shelter. But street dogs, now street dogs, you can talk to them as village dogs, community dogs, but they're typically born and raised on the streets without direct human ownership. So this is kind of a feral type situation that they have developed survival instincts that make them wary of humans. So, you know, I like to kind of break it down to where you have a stray dog, then you have your semi-feral dogs, and then your feral dogs. And for me, semi-feral dogs would be dogs that at one point maybe depended on a human, but then they've been more of their time on the streets than they were with humans, whereas a stray dog had more time with humans than on the street. Street dogs, they've not ever been with a human. They form their own packs. They rely on scavenging for food and really learn their environment in such a way that they're not slinking around. They're just living their life as if you're just a part of it. It's like us living our life and deer just being a part of it. These street dogs have learned that this is their life and that humans are just a part of it. So, you know, there are a lot of communities, especially in urban environments, to where people will help feed the street dogs. They will, you know, try to develop a relationship or a bond, but it's never going to be like that relationship that you may have with your dog that has been brought up with a human, this, you know, from the get-go. Now, the one thing about street dogs is that they can have an ecological impact where they can influence local wildlife, urban ecosystems. They can help control rodent populations, but they can also pose threats to native species and contribute to the spread of disease. So basically, these street dogs are, they're free ranging, they're free breeding. Their ancestors have been there in the area for a long time, and they have oftentimes will live harmoniously with the local community. But when they are in their environment, they are going to create basic schedule that they're going to do almost every day. They're going to get up. They're going to go to where they find food. They're going to make their rounds. And that might be, you know, a 5-mile radius, right? These dogs can really go a long time. So they will get up and they will start that process of every day doing the same thing. And so much so that if you are interested in like creating a bond with a street dog, you would learn their routine and find out what time they are at a certain area. And then you would just show up every time or every day at that time to provide whatever food or water or whatever it is that you're providing. And you can almost guarantee they're going to be there because they have a plan. They have a pattern. They have predictability. Now, obviously, you know, they learn other skills such as learning how to be in the environment and watching for cars, they'll learn the areas where people are not friendly to street dogs, right? They will definitely learn to stay away from those areas. But they really get out and learn about their environment, and then they learn how to handle that environment given whatever innate skills that they have. Whereas when we have our dog's schedule is very different. Our dogs get up, go out into their limited space of outdoors, and the majority of things. They don't have to forage or scavenge or anything. The food is just put in a bowl or in a snuffle mat or in a topple, and it's given to them. And so they eat, and then they, you know, lounge around a little bit looking out the window. And then, you know, they go out to potty, and they get their food again. But there's really nothing that's really interesting for most dogs. And that's why our dogs have such a problem is that, number one, the world is not created for them. Number two, we're not giving them the outlets that we need. And because we're not giving them the outlets that they need and meeting those needs, we are going to have behavior that it does not necessarily fit into our lifestyle. And it's not the dog's fault, right? If you have a Jack Russell Terrier and you live, in the urban environment where you have to walk down a sidewalk to go to a public parking park area for your dog to get any sniffy, but your dog's not getting a chance to, you know, chase rats or rabbits or hunt for vermin, then, you know, they're not going to be feeling like themselves. It's like when I typically go to the gym 5 days a week. And when I'm on vacation, I did not go to the gym 5 days a week because the gym that I go to was too far away. And it threw me off. My entire schedule was thrown off. My entire feeling was thrown off. My body didn't feel the same. I ended up with a little bit of allergies where I've been feeling pretty good. And I was just kind of off my game a little bit. I wasn't as creative. I didn't really have the release that I needed. I got out and walked a lot, but it wasn't the same as, like, you know, lifting weights that I really enjoy. Now, that was just a very minimal time, but if I had to spend every day like that, I would eventually be a very unhappy human. And that's what we have to think about with our dog, is when they're kind of stuck in an environment that is not meeting their needs, they don't have many, you know, other options. And that's a sad life to live. So we want to make sure that we're giving them the opportunities to not only meet their genetic needs, but also giving them opportunities to just explore the environment and learn how to deal with the things that they're going to have to deal with. You know, another big thing that you will get with your street dogs, they're going to rest very well in certain areas, and those certain areas that they rest in, they're going to be pretty comfortable knowing what sounds are going to be around, what the environment's going to be like. Whereas in our homes, every day can be different. Some days the doorbell rings more. Other days the TV is off. And then there are Saturdays where football is on. So everything is loud and the house is not as quiet and calm as it normally is. You know, some days the vacuum cleaner is running. Or out of the blue, the little automatic vacuum comes out of its holster and starts running around the house. And we think, well, the dog will just get used to it. He can't get used to it if there's not a consistent schedule with it. And I think that's what makes things so challenging for these dogs, is because everything is so inconsistent and unpredictable that it's creating issues with our dogs. And the main issue I'm seeing is chronic stress. All right, especially these dogs that are getting sensory overload with the doorbells, the delivery trucks, the fireworks, the loud TVs. Our TVs are getting bigger, our speakers are getting bigger, noises everywhere. I mean, it's overwhelming for me, and I'm a loud human and I like to be loud, but even I get overwhelmed with all the noises and all the things, especially when it's unpredictable. And so I need to have things that are, you know, I like predictability to a degree, I do like surprises, and I like to be like, hey, I'm just going to go with the flow and see what happens. But that's because I've made that choice. A lot of times our dogs can't make those choices. All right. So, you know, when we think about, let's just think about when you take your dog for a walk. Okay. I don't take Willow for many walks. Now, we did in Black Mountain, obviously. I will do a few short walks in the neighborhood, but we don't do a normal lap around because we do other things for enrichment and things of that. But think about if you're taking your dog on a walk, and every time you go on this walk, you got cars rushing by. You got strange dogs behind fences barking. You got kids on bicycles. You got, you know, kids on skateboards. You got loud motorcycles or, you know, all-wheel vehicles. And it is constant. And it's like a 10, 15-minute walk has so much unpredictable stimuli that I'm not sure how much the dog is enjoying the physical exercise, but also just the exploration. There's a big difference of a dog getting to go into a grassy area and just explore versus going on a walk with their human, where the human's like, we have to get around this block right now because I have to get back and cook dinner. and, you know, and all this activity that's happening, and there's no time to explore, and there's no time to just decrease any stress. So we have to think about that. Yeah, we're trying to do something really good for our dogs by taking them for a walk, but we need to really look at the pros and cons, right? What's the pro to taking your dog on a walk around the neighborhood versus the cons of taking your dog around the neighborhood? Now, you may have a really quiet neighborhood. My neighborhood is fairly quiet. We have people that cannot follow the speed limit on my road, which is a very frustrating thing for me. But overall, it's fairly predictable in that I know when the busiest traffic, when the obnoxious people that can't do the speed limit are coming through, when the kids are out playing. So I know if I want to go do some exploring with her, I'll either put her in the car and go somewhere up the street where there's a grassy space that she can just sniff. And we'll stay in one spot for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, but she'll be on a 30 to 50 foot lead. And I'm just going to let her just sniff. She doesn't have to go on that physical walk. Why? Because physically we've been doing exercise in the backyard. We throw the ball, we throw the frisbee, you know, we run around, we chase the other dog, we play, we wrestle. That's that physical exercise. For walks, I want to make it about exploring and meeting that genetic need and giving her that opportunity to say, you know what, I just need a break from all this noise and be somewhere quiet. All right, so Brett, she can't handle all the noise all the time, so she'll go out into the woods for quiet, or she'll go fishing somewhere quiet, and she needs it to just decompress. And for me, my decompression is typically the gym. But sometimes even there, it's too many people, too much happening, and I want to go somewhere a little more quiet. So finding a more quiet place and a more predictable place can help your dog kind of decrease the stress of that day, whether it was delivery trucks or kids are home from school or you homeschool or both, you know, adults work from home. And so it's constantly going on in the house. Giving them an opportunity to explore somewhere quiet can help decrease that stress so we don't get stress building up and then we have chronic stress. And chronic stress is something that's going to affect the entire body. It's going to affect the immune system. It's going to affect the digestion. It's going to affect your dog's ability to learn new behavior and to complete that stress cycle, right? We want to build resilience by dealing with stressful things, but then turning around and going and decompressing from that stressful thing. That's how we build resilience. We don't build resilience by just keeping in a stressful moment or a stressful environment. That doesn't help. So if you're looking at helping to decrease your dog's stress, you need to find some predictability, okay? Now, I hate routines. I know, and you're like, well, but Nikki, predictability, routines, fairly similar. I don't think they are. So for me, routine would be the same time every day. This is what we do. This is our routine, okay? For me in the mornings, routine is we get up. I let her out to potty. I start making the coffee while the coffee is sitting and waiting for me to complete it. I will typically empty the dishwasher, feed the cats, clean up whatever's in the kitchen needs to happen, make my bed, and then I let her back in. By the time I do all that, my coffee is ready. I sit down with my coffee. I go through my emails, my personal emails. I check the news. I read the news. I play Connections and Wordle on New York Times. Then I will check Facebook, usually TikTok. And then by that point, I am then ready to either feed Willow and get in the shower, or I'll just get in the shower, get ready for the day, and then I'll feed her. So now the predictable part of that is that I will feed you the same way every time. You'll go in your crate, you'll eat, and you'll be in there for 30 minutes to an hour after you have breakfast. And you'll be in there with your fan on, with your brown noise machine, and you need to go ahead and take a nap. So that is the routine in the mornings, but after that, I don't really have a routine. I will have predictability when I feed her dinner, but I don't have a routine. So wherever you can find a place to put in some predictable patterns or put in some routines, I think that's going to help your dog, because Willow understands what the expectation is in the morning. So that when we were in Black Mountain, it was the same thing. It was the same thing. I'd get up, make the coffee, do some different things. I would sit down, have my coffee, do my news, do my Wordle. And she knew that, you know, and she had opportunity to run in and out. It was such beautiful weather. We had doors open. The place where we stay is a fully fenced in property. And she just has the best time. She can come and go as she please. And then feeding, same way. We put her in a crate, eat in there, and then you get to hang out for 20 to 30 minutes. And that's just helping her to learn that, okay, even though our environment is different, then, you know, everything else kind of stays the same. So it helps to decrease some of the stress so that I'm not putting stress on top of stress. So anytime you have something like a change in the work schedule, or you have new people that's involved in your house or your life, visitors on a regular, if you're doing any construction in your home, all of those little things will affect your dog. So over time, stress will build up. We can't avoid this stress, guys. We just can't, right? We can't avoid it for ourselves, and we can't avoid it for our dogs. But what we can do is find ways to decompress, de-stress, right? That's how we keep from getting to a point where we're sick because of chronic stress. So think of it like this. If you have a cup, and let's say you have an 8-ounce cup, everything that's stressful goes into that cup. So think about that cup of every time you feel stressed, you put maybe an ounce of water in. Okay, so 8 ounces of water goes into that cup. That's all that cup can handle, 8 ounces. So if you put another ounce of stress in it, now we have the cup is running over because it can hold more than 8 ounces. But now it's running over. Think about this being reactivity. Reactivity in you, where you just explode. Reactivity from your dog, where it seems like they just reacted over nothing. But in reality, their cup has been filled all day. And then you try to put a little bit more in it, and it just spills everywhere. What we have to do is we take that 8-ounce cup and find ways for decompression to happen. And that decompression, that de-stress, think of it as little holes in the bottom of the cup. So each time we find an activity that helps to decrease the stress, that hole in that cup is letting some water out so that we have more room to put in more water, aka stress. Okay, so think about that. Not every dog's cup is 8 ounces. Some dogs only have a 4-ounce cup. Some only have a 2-ounce sippy cup. Some may have a big gulp 48-ounce. It depends. It depends on your dog's exposure, experiences, age, breed, right? So it really depends a lot on the dog, on what cup size they have. So think about that. What is your dog's cup size? What is filling your dog's cup, right? Is it you leaving? Is it the neighbor's dog barking all the time? Is it delivery truck coming 3 times a day? What is filling your dog's cup? If you take your dog for, say, a ride to go to the dog park, is that ride in the car, is that filling up your dog's cup at all? Absolutely it is. Because that stress can be good or bad, right? So if you want to think of another name for it, absolutely you do that. But just know it's going to affect the body, right? It's filling up the brain. It's stimulation, right? You got other cars. You got bicycles, motorcycles, walkers, birds, rabbits, squirrels, everything your dog may see in the car ride to the dog park. That is already filling the cup up. So by the time you get to the dog park, how many ounces are left in your dog's cup? Okay, so let's say you got an 8-ounce cup. The ride took 2 ounces All right. 2 ounces the ride there. We have to consider the ride back may also be 2 ounces. But I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that the dog is so tired from the dog park, maybe it's only 1 ounce. So now that's 3 ounces we have to account for just for the ride. So how many ounces do we have in the dog park? Well, let's say that every 30 minutes, 1 ounce is added to your dog's cup. So we need to think about that. You don't want to spend that long because you still have the rest of the night. But you also have to consider what filled your dog's cup during the day before you even left the house. If we're not giving our dog opportunities to, again, release some of that water from the cup, then we're going to spill over. And let me say that there are times that your backyard where your dog hangs out may not be that stress-free. If you have, like I have, which are barking dogs all around that are obnoxious, it's not that stress-free all the time. So I have to take that in consideration that sometimes that backyard, it's not that stress-free, that sometimes it's stressful. And I'll go out and sit on my deck and I just want to decompress. And then I have dogs barking and they don't stop. Yep, we come in the house because that's not doing the purpose that I needed it to do. And if I do want to sit out there just for the weather, I'll put in earplugs. I'll put in earplugs or I'll just put in, some headphones and put some relaxing music on. So when you are dealing with something like your areas not being very stress-free, you work from home, it's busy, dogs don't have as much quiet time, you've got to create that quiet time for them. That spa room, you're going to hear me say it almost every episode, spa room. And the spa room truly is just your dog's own space where they can go and be quiet and rest, and it's predictable. Right now, Willow is in her crate, the brown noise machine is on, the overhead fan is on, and she is taking a nap because I'm working, but also because she's been up most of the day. So I want to make sure that she has that quiet time, and the brown noise machine is up enough to where I can move around the house and she's not being affected. If your brown noise machine is not loud enough, they're still going to hear you, and it's defeating the purpose. Right, the whole purpose is for them to not hear what's happening outside that door so they can actually rest and not perk up every time they hear a little noise. Because I can tell you, one of the most stressful things is Willow stayed in her first hotel room. It was a disaster. It's a fucking disaster. Zero sleep. Zero sleep. Our first night, we drove halfway because I hate car trips. And I know it's only like a 5.5 hour drive for us, but we stayed halfway and not even halfway. We stayed a little bit, like 3/4 of the way, but we stopped at a hotel just to chill, watch football. And every little noise sent her through the roof. And I'm talking all night long. All night long. It was miserable. It was miserable. And she hated the car ride, never rested on the car. So our first day in Black Mountain was nothing but just letting her decompress and then me taking her for a walk to just explore and decompress, wrestle with her sister, play with some toys, just to be free and moving freely to decompress from that horrible, probably 36 hours that she went through. She was better on the ride back, but oof, it was rough, y'all. I will not be staying in a hotel again. I will be staying in a camper or in the Airbnb. I won't even stay in an Airbnb that's just a room because those unpredictable noises is going to set her off. And it got to the point where I was sitting there, my nervous system was absolutely, it was so high, just waiting for the next noise. I was on edge, just waiting for the next noise and waiting for her to bark because I knew we had people right next to us. And of course, there was another dog across the hall. And it was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. So I can imagine how I felt, and I understood what was happening. And I was miserable, so I felt really bad for her. But I've learned I'm just not going to do that right now. I did not start her in hotels as a puppy. I should have, but I just wasn't going anywhere. So we'll work on it. She will get better. But it was really rough for her. So make sure you are finding places where your dog can be quiet and resting in a predictable way. Okay, so you've got to be careful there. And if your dog even sleeps with you at night, is that appropriate? Is it appropriate for your dog to sleep there, being that, are you a flopper? Do you flop around? Because that's going to mess up your dog. If your dog is flopping around, that's messing you up. All right, so sometimes sleeping together is not the answer. There are times I love to have Willow in the bed with me, but I have found a way to do it to where we will hang out in the bed together for a couple hours, maybe an hour, sometimes for a few hours where we'll sleep, and then I'll put her in her crate when I get up to go to the bathroom. I'll put her in her crate because we both are going to sleep better that way. Now let's talk about chronic stress for a minute. Chronic stress is something that affects a lot of dogs, and this is why we're getting so many dogs with reactivity, excessive barking issues, health issues. Like, I guarantee you that the majority of the health issues that your dog has is based from chronic stress, inflammation, poor gut health. All of those things are going to affect the way your dog acts and behaves, and their ability to even heal from sickness. So if you have a dog who is overly reactive, or even if you have a dog who is shutting down and is not interested in doing things, chronic stress. So chronic stress basically keeps your dog's nervous system on high alert. They're constantly on fight or flight, or they're in that shutdown mode. None of it's healthy. Is it regular for us to be there at some point? Absolutely. But staying there is very detrimental to your dog's health and your dog's overall well-being. So we have to make sure that if we're seeing our dog have chronic stress, that we immediately start taking action. And the very first thing is going to create the spa room. And the second thing is going to be gut health and making sure your dog is eating healthy and they're digesting properly, and that what they're eating is actually nutrition for their system. Because remember that the gut communicates more to the brain than the brain communicates to the gut. And the majority of your serotonin is formed in the gut. So some of the emotional tolls that chronic stress will get is, not only your barking, but you might get some growling, some pacing, some avoidance behavior, shutdown behavior, dogs that no longer enjoy the things they used to enjoy. They basically are learning coping mechanisms that are not necessarily beneficial, but it's all they have. We have to help them find some coping mechanisms. And that's what we talked about a little bit earlier, is that exploring, giving them an opportunity to get out and have agency over what they're doing. And if we're not handling our stress, then our dogs are absolutely going to be affected, right? Those nervous systems will feed off of each other. If you're constantly stimulated and you're putting out that energy, you are going to create some issues, because a lot of times if you're constantly stimulated and you're constantly multitasking, then you're going to be as unpredictable as the environment. So, take the time to just slow down and think about what you're doing. Create that predictability. Provide a quiet environment for your dog. Take the time, maybe you create a spa room for your dog and for yourself, to where the first 10 minutes of your dog in the spa room, you sit in there with them. You just hang out with them, reading a book, taking some deep breaths, maybe listening to some affirmations in your ears. I don't want the dog hearing that, because they need quiet. You're not talking with your dog and interacting. You're just sharing the same space of quiet together. You've got to find ways to give that enrichment. Allow that sniffing. Find different things to chew on. Give them opportunities to problem solve. Problem solving is very a natural stress reducer, but a dog has to have the confidence to do it. They have to be able to meet those other genetic needs through sniffing and chewing, maybe digging, hunting, right? These are different things that dogs may need to build that confidence up in order to find ways to deal with the stress that they're feeling. And of course, you've got to advocate for your dog, but also you have to understand when your dog is showing that they are stressed. And we go back to the dog language, communication, calming signals, and reading that body language. So again, if you've not had that webinar, 85% off right now, you can get it and learn, because if you don't know how to read what your dog is trying to tell you, then we're going to end up keeping our dog in a state of chronic stress. Lifespan's going to get shorter. Overall health is going to get bad, right? We need to stop focusing on sick health and start focusing on preventative and welfare. And that is making sure that gut is healthy, making sure that we are allowing our dogs to communicate their natural way of communication without the fear of being punished because of the lack of understanding that humans have. Slow down in your life. Slow down with your dog. Take minute by minute. This is one thing I have learned in the last few months. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not even thinking about when I'm done recording this episode. I'm thinking about right now, right where I am in this moment. The Halloween party that I had, I think I took maybe one picture. I don't even know if I even took a picture. I had other people taking pictures because I didn't want to miss one minute. I see people, they're so about capturing the moment for future, but they miss the moment in the present. And I wish that we would do a better job at just being present, being in the moment. I'm in the moment. Right now, right here, 46 minutes and 50 seconds into this episode, I'm right here in this moment. So we just need to learn to slow down. Take some mindful walks. Do some intentional play with your dog. Again, quiet connection where you just sit and do nothing together. That gives you a chance to breathe. Gives your dog a chance to just be with you and see you for who you are, not for what you do, right? And that what you do might be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. So you see, it's really both of us that we have to learn, human and dog. We have to learn both how to de-stress. But the problem is that we have agency over how we handle our stress. Our dogs don't. So we have to start finding ways to give them that opportunity and knowing what that looks like. Our dogs aren't broken. Okay? They're just trying to adapt to a world that wasn't built with them in mind. So when people call and say, "Can you fix my dog?" They're not broken. They're just struggling like the rest of us. It's just the difference is that the world was built for humans, even though it's still not very healthy. It's built for humans. It's just not built for dogs. But by seeing the world through their eyes, we can help them, you know, feel a little safer, a little quieter. And we can learn to be a lot more compassionate when we do that. So what can you do to change your dog's environment to help them de-stress? To help them not worry about what's coming next, but just to be present in the moment. What can you do? What can you change? What little things can you do? Nothing has to be big right now. Make small changes. Small changes, all you need. Your dog will appreciate it. And that small change might be you learn about communication. You learn about dog language. It might be that you're... Take 5 minutes in the evening to just sit with your dog quietly and looking at each other and gazing in each other's eyes, right? Or maybe you just spend 5 minutes doing whatever play your dog wants to do, not what you want to do. create some routines if you need to, but create predictability when you are going to do things. But I want you to really be aware of what fills your dog's cup up. What does your dog find stressful? Just because you don't find it stressful and you don't think it should cause your dog stress doesn't mean it doesn't cause your dog stress. Your dog is the only one that's going to know if it causes them stress. Your job is to understand that through their behavior. Instead of immediately jumping to, my dog is bad. My dog is being an asshole. My dog is mad at me. My dog is, being resentful because I had to go to work. No, your dog is telling you some things, but it's not what you think it is. It's not about you. It's about them and what they need. So stop taking it all so damn personal. Get out of your own mind. Look at your dog and help them in this world that was absolutely just continues to not be built for them. It continues to expand and it's not getting better for them. It's getting harder for them. So we have to find ways to give them opportunities to de-stress, decompress, so that we don't get into chronic stress, which can cause tons of issues. Tons of issues. I hope that this has given you something to think about, right? I don't want you to feel bad if you've not thought about this, because sometimes we don't think about it, right? People get dogs and they say, oh, I just got to housebreak them, make sure they come when called, they need to learn to sit. Yeah, those things, those are not that important, guys. Teaching your dog to sit is absolutely not important. Teaching your dog to lay down, not important. Okay? What is important is teaching your dog skills to deal with the stressors, to deal with the unpredictability, to teach them resilience, to build their resilience, to build their confidence, and to be the one thing in their life that they can count on. And if you're not the one thing that they can count on, you need to make some changes. And when I say that, what I mean by that is if one day you come home and you love all over your dog like you hadn't seen him in 3 weeks, and the next day you come home and you could fucking care less about him, and you're mad because they're jumping in your clothes because it happened to be muddy outside, yeah, no, don't be an asshole. Your dog doesn't understand that. Okay? Be something your dog can count on. Don't be unpredictable. Be predictable. Predictability in your behavior can change so much. All right, I've tried to close this up a couple of times now, but I get very passionate about this one. I will tell you that this episode is giving you a little bit of a hint on the project I'm working on. Let's hope that this project comes to fruition in 2026. I will continue to work on it for you guys, and I'm really excited about it. But this is something that is I'm very passionate about, because over time, chronic stress will lead to trauma. And you guys know how I feel about trauma. So let's avoid that trauma. And we get into more of dealing with stress appropriately, building resilience, and living your best life in the world that has been given to us. All right, guys. I hope this has helped. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, shoot me an email. If you are in the areas I will be traveling to, reach out if you want to do a private session with me, or if you have a group of people and you want to do a group session, if you want to go on an outing and learn how to be on a patio or whatever, or you just want to take me for a drink, hey, whatever, reach out, guys. I would love to meet some of you face to face. I appreciate you. Please rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really does help us to reach new listeners. And if you have used us personally and you happen to listen to our episodes regularly, please go and do a Google review, because that's how the world is changing and that's how people are finding us. And we want to make sure that people are finding us, to use us using positive methods and not running off and using shock collars and knee collars and doing this board and train stuff. So make sure that you can rate and review and do a Google review if you do if you've used us personally. So I hate asking for that. That's why I just stumbled through that. I hate asking for it, but unfortunately that's the world we're living in. And it stresses me out to do that. So now I'm going to go decompress and de-stress. So I appreciate you guys. I love you. I am very, very grateful for you. And I hope you have an amazing Halloween.